This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton unveiled a major plan on Tuesday focused on the economy, but more focused on technology and innovation, the two buzzwords favored most by the corporate world. Her plan includes a college debt relief program, greater investment in startup companies, and computer science teacher training, plus more. But Clinton's plan is already coming under attack for being too focused on a sector of society that needs far less help than low-income communities and other industries. According to my guest Isaiah Poole, quote, Clinton may not have done this intentionally, but she's offered a proposal that fits neatly into the makers versus takers right-wing narrative of the economy, one that exalts the so-called job creators but offers little, if anything, to the people doing those jobs. Isaiah Poole is the editor of OurFuture.org, formerly with the Congressional Quarterly. He's a founding member of the Washington Association of Black Journalists and the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association. I'm very pleased to welcome you to the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks. First, let's talk about what her overall message was. And as I mentioned, these words, technology and innovation, kept coming up over and over again. I mean, these are the sort of fantasy words that the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world and the Bill Gateses of the world feel is going to be the way in which we'll get transformed from the haves and have-nots to a place where there'll be this lovely utopian and equal society. What do you have a problem with her seemingly disproportionate focus on those buzzwords?
Well, I do, and it's because not everybody is going to be a Mark Zuckerberg. Not everybody is going to want to start a business. In fact, this mentality that we are sort of creating this, we're turning everybody into entrepreneurs, means that people like the daughter of my next door neighbor is driving an Uber car for a living. Or, there are people who are having to rent out their homes on Airbnb so that they can pay their mortgage bill every month. This is fine stuff if that's what you want to do, but why are we trying to build an economy on an entire economy on that, where there are people who are not secure, don't have steady incomes, don't have a way to rise up like as our parents and grandparents were able to do by building a career and building a solid middle class existence with good jobs, good benefits, and the ability to save for a retirement. That was my problem with what Clinton was presenting, is that you've got this avenue that's created for people who think they can become the next Zuckerberg. But what about the rest of us?
Right. In her plan that she states on her website, she has a special section on supporting young entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs is this other, of course, very popular buzzword in corporate America. And it says, Hillary will allow entrepreneurs to put their federal student loans into a special status while they get their job-creating ventures off the ground. For millions of young Americans, this would mean no payments on their student loans for up to 3 years, zero interest and zero principal during the startup phase. She'll also give innovators who start social enterprises or new businesses in distressed communities the opportunity to apply for forgiveness of up to $17,500 off their student loans after 5 years. First of all, Isaiah, does this, again, kind of privilege those people who are interested in starting businesses? Why shouldn't somebody who gets a degree in nursing not get to put off their federal student loans into a special status?
Well, that's exactly right. I was thinking we have a desperate need for doctors. We have a desperate need for nurses. We have needs for teachers. And to be fair to the Clinton administration, to the Clinton campaign, she's made a proposal also for teachers.
But just computer science teachers, not arts teachers, not English teachers or history teachers, but computer science teachers and the STEM fields.
Yeah, so there, you know, there the problem I think generally with the Clinton with the Clinton proposals is that they're very incremental and very segmented. So if you fit a particular category, you get particular government attention. The problem is that we have a dysfunctional economy for everyone. You know, there's a reason why the mantra of the Occupy movement was, we are the 99%. And it's not just young people who want to start a business, but it's young people who just simply want to get a decent job. It's, you know, people who have worked for 20 or 30 years in manufacturing, who now have seen their plant going overseas and are now working at a dollar store at minimum wage. It's the folks who are we're fighting for, who are called managers, but they're only making $25,000 a year and they're being asked to work 60, 70, 80 hours a week for $25,000 a year. And we're trying to change that through overtime rules. But that's the whole spectrum of people that we're talking about who need, all of these people need relief, not just people who decide to start a business, but also, as I said in my piece, to people who are going to be work for them.
Let's actually hear Clinton in her own words. This is an excerpt of the speech that she gave on Tuesday, where she unveiled her economic plan, squarely focused on, quote, technology and innovation.
Let's make it right for young people like Erica Reutblad in Westlake. She dreamed her whole life of going to Ohio University in Athens. But the housing crash in 2008 wiped out her parents' savings and their small business. So to get her college degree at a public university, Erica wound up $100,000 in debt. We cannot let this student debt crisis continue. We've got to give hardworking students and families relief. And you know what Erica's doing now? She's volunteering for our campaign and working to elect Democrats across Ohio. Let's set the goal of making college debt-free for everyone like Erica. And let's provide debt relief. Let's provide debt relief as soon as we can. As soon as we start to work, Elizabeth, we'll take the day off for the inauguration, and then the Senate, the Congress, the White House, we're going to get to work to give students and their families relief.
Hillary Clinton, Democratic presidential candidate, speaking in Cincinnati, Ohio on Tuesday, unveiling her economic plan. Now, of course, it sounds really great when you hear the words debt-free college. But if we parse what she said, Isaiah, she said, let's set the goal to make college debt-free to all Americans. Why not just make a plan for it? Why not, like she specifically set out for those people who are interested in going to business school and starting their own companies and, you know, get to defer for 3 years their college debt. Even there, she doesn't actually say erase their debt, but just defer it. Why not say, under my administration, like how Bernie Sanders was saying, I would like to make higher education free for all Americans?
Well, that's exactly the point. And you're right about pointing out that Bernie Sanders has made that a centerpiece of his campaign. And there's an effort to make sure that that is a strong statement of the Democratic platform and a part of the general election campaign, a pledge that Hillary Clinton should be making. Listen, there used to be options for free public college in parts of this country. Should have been universal from day one, but states like New York, California, there are other states where a person could go to a state public college for free. There was a radical defunding of public college education. mainly in Republican states. And now we have a situation where even if you go to a state college, you can graduate from a state college with tens of thousands of dollars in debt. That's just simply wrong. That's got to change. It could change immediately because there are very simple things we could do to our tax code to raise the money needed to make sure that we're funding this. And if we do that, we unlock, some of the plans that we promoted on our website, IamAStudentDebtVoter.org. The plan would be to erase $1.3 trillion of existing college debt. Imagine taking that millstone off of people and off of the economy and allow people to use that money instead to start families, to buy homes, to start businesses if that's what they want to do, instead of paying it to the banks.
That would be amazing. So sort of jubilee for people with college debt. And, you know, just the way in which a lot of presidential candidates, people running for office, like to play to our dreams and our desires, but use careful language to make sure they don't actually promise it. That's the part that turns many voters into cynics. You know, for again, just going back to her saying, let's set the goal for this. No, go ahead and make it happen. Say you promise to do it when you're president. You know, instead of saying, I'm going to set the goal for it. If you are the president, you could try, you know, you could actually make that your goal. You could actually make it happen, have a plan in place, except, of course, if Wall Street is backing your campaign heavily.
Well, and the other thing is that let's talk about rallying a movement to bring about transformative change. I think that's what people are hungering for in 2016. The Bernie Sanders campaign proved that there are particularly young people who are really ready to get on board an agenda for really transforming the economy, transforming how it works and who it works for. Hillary Clinton is in danger of missing an opportunity to rally that movement around her and then bring about some radical changes like the debt-free college that she says that she wants. But we won't get there without the movement to support it and the audacious ideas that would propel that movement to victory.
Isaiah, do you feel that the tone and the kind of focus of her plan being kind of being so disproportionately fixated on technology and innovation really is based on a false premise and a poor understanding of what education is? I'm wondering if you can sort of link this to the charter school movement, to the Eli Broads of the world who feel that if you just put an iPad into the hands of a student, that they're going to become, you know, that if we can just find these sort of tech fixes to our broken education system, that we will have this amazing economy where Americans can compete, and outthink the Chinese and the Indians and have this vibrant economy, and really missing the boat that in order to have well-educated students, you need a well-rounded education where arts, language, history, ethnic studies, and all of those issues actually play a huge role.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. There's a lot that you've got wrapped up in that question, but I think the central point is that, yes, we do need a well-rounded education. There is a tendency among people in the tech sector to want public education and the charter school, and part of the reason why the charter school movement is as strong is because there's a lot of money that's come into the charter school industry from private business interests that want schools to basically be a production facility for their future workers. And yes, schools should prepare people for work, but it's more than just the interests of Silicon Valley or Walmart or the other big money players in the so-called school reform movement. But it's about creating a generation of people who understand history, understand civics, understand have the thought processes that they need in order to challenge the existing order.
And also going back to what you wrote about, which is that, and I quoted you, that this whole approach, it sounds like exactly based on the premise of how the economy works that the Republicans love to talk about. Job creators are more important. It's more important for us to support job creators than the people actually working the jobs.
Well, that's what the thing that I found that most upsetting about this is that, there is this narrative of makers versus takers. There is this narrative of you're on your own. And, it's sort of almost an Ayn Randian type view of the world that is the opposite of an economy in which we recognize our interdependence and we support each other. And we hold ourselves accountable to each other. And that, as you know, the name of your show is Rising Up, and we should be rising up together. I just think that Hillary Clinton would be on much stronger ground if she just simply said that everyone is entitled to an excellent education from preschool through the end of college, and that is the fundamental responsibility of the federal government working with the states to make sure that every child, no matter what that child wants to do, can get the education that he or she needs to fulfill her dreams, period.
You know, this reminds me of the whole healthcare debate when instead of just taking the simple route to single-payer healthcare, President Obama put forward this horribly complex behemoth of a law with exceptions and special cases in order to compromise on so many fronts. And in the end, in practical terms, those people who are able to get insurance are still struggling. You know, if you want to actually have something that where all boats rise, to use their terminology, it can often be done in much simpler ways. So even, on the issue of college debt relief, it can just be done much more simply on the economy, just be done so much in much more straightforward ways. But of course, that is a big problem with the way in which our elections are run and who our politicians are beholden to. So I appreciate you bringing up that point. Isaiah, thank you so much for joining us. Where's the best place for people to read your writings?
It's on ourfuture.org.
That's ourfuture.org. We'll post a link there. Thank you so much for spending this time with us.
Thank you.
Isaiah Poole is the editor of ourfuture.org, formerly with the Congressional Quarterly. He's a founding member of the Washington Association of Black Journalists and the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.